The Lord's blessings to you on this special day. Hello, Heritage family, brothers and sisters in Christ, friends who may be joining us from here or around the world, young and old alike, welcome. As we open God's Word, as we continue the time of worship that Pastor Kevin and his family led in song, we now open God's Word in truth and in prayer. Let us pray, and then I'd like to share with you what we're going to be doing this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for my brothers and sisters and my friends who are watching from here and across the U.S. and even around the world. Thank you, Lord, that we are united in the bonds of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And if there is someone who does not know you, may they come to a saving knowledge and understanding of you, Jesus Christ, what you did for them in the cross, and the love that you have for them. Open our eyes and our hearts as we hear from your word today. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, I would like to take a little bit of time here at the beginning and walk through two psalms in God's Word, Psalm 145 and Psalm 146, two lovely psalms that speak of the beauty of God. And then after that, I would like to take just a few moments at the end of our time and lay out a little bit of a midterm ministry plan for us as a church. With however long God has us in the season of ministry, we've been meeting as leaders and thinking creatively and proactively about what the next few weeks and next few months might look like. So please stay tuned after our feeding in God's Word so that we might plow a path forward together and be on a journey together as God's people. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles, please, to Psalm 145, Psalm chapter 145. If you're new to the faith, or perhaps you don't even really understand the Bible, it can be found online. Just Google Psalms 145, or you can open your Bible, and about halfway in the middle, that's the book of Psalms, a collection of songs that reflect the psalmist's praise and hearts, and even struggles and angst and anxiety as their hearts are poured out to God. In Psalm 145, it is the psalm written by King David. Now, if you've been with us throughout the week, Monday through Friday at noon, as we've been studying through the book of Ruth, Boaz and Ruth are the great-grandparents of King David. And King David became the archetypal king for Israel, through whom would eventually come Jesus Christ himself. Psalm 145 is David lifting up his praise to God. Now, kids out there, what does it mean to praise God? What does it mean to worship him? What it means is to pour out our hearts in song, in words, in speech, and in action, recognizing who God is and giving him all the glory. What is glory? All the recognition, all the honor. Letting him know from our hearts that there's nothing more precious than him. And King David is doing that in this psalm. And so here's what I would like you to do. No matter who you are, where you're at, I would like you to pause the video and I'd like you to read through Psalm 145 out loud. If you're a family, then take turns reading through the psalm. Let the children participate. Kids, tell your parents, I want to read too. If you're a single, then read it out loud. Push pause right now, wherever you're at, and read Psalm 145. I'm going to stare at you until you read it. Have you done it? Okay, we can now resume our study. Now, Psalm 145, as we have just read, is a lovely psalm. It talks about the grand state of our God, his being, his character. He says, I will extol you, my God and my King, and bless your name forever. He's saying, I'm going to praise you, O God. I'm going to sing your praise. In the Hebrew, this is one of the last of what are called the alphabetical hymns. So each line begins with a different letter from the Hebrew alphabet. So kids, if you want, you can call this the ABC psalm, because each line begins with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet and to praise God. So next time you sing A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you can remember that there is a letter for praise for God in every letter of the alphabet. And here, David is saying, I want to praise you. You're worthy of my praise. And he wants to showcase how great and how glorious God is. One of the early commentators in the 18th century said, "This psalm is the glory and excellence of God's nature and government and his person and his being." And you can see David writing that as he writes this psalm. Down in verse 8, he says who our God is. He's gracious, merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He overflows with love. This is who our God is. He is good to all. His mercy is over all that he has made. As we look at the psalm, there are some things that we can draw out of it that help us even with how we look at life today. Martin Luther, who was a reformer in the 15th century, about 500 years ago, said this is a very blessed psalm of thanksgiving for the kingdom and dominion of Christ. That this psalm reminds us in thanksgiving what God has done in the past, and it also reminds us of what Christ has done on the cross and gives us hope even for today. Great is the Lord. Greatly to be praised. Really, when we think about nature and all of creation, it all praises God. And it tells us who God is. In verse 9, it says, his mercy is over all that he has made. The word that is used here has the idea of not just mercy, but tender kindness, tender mercies, like a parent to a child. It's not just kindness, it's gentle kindness. From a parent to that young child, like child, kid, like your loving mom and dad reach down to you. And even if you don't come from a household where you saw that love in your parents, no matter how old you are, you can know that your God is gentle and loving and kind. And he wants you to know him and to experience the joy and the glories of his being. It says in verse 14, so we know who God is. He's gracious and kind, and he's worthy of praise, and that he upholds all who are falling and raises all who are bowed down. People who are struggling, he holds them up. He is continually giving strength to those who are bent under the weight of their burdens. I love how an ancient writer said, he is the helper of the helpless. That when we struggle in life, even with things going on in the world today, he's the helper of the helpless, the helper of the one who is struggling. Planets and atoms, angels and insects, all ranks and orders of creatures hang dependent on God's sovereign will. And if he holds all of that together, then he can surely help us through our burdens. He can help us through our struggles in life. In verse 18, it says, the Lord is near to all who call on him. Hey, kids, when you pray at night or pray around the dinner table, you're not just praying to emptiness or to a God who is distant. You're praying to a God who hears you. He hears every word that you say. He wants to hear from you. And adults, brother and sister, friend, when you reach out to God, he is listening. And the Bible says that he is nigh to all who call on him. He wants to draw near to you. He fulfills and satisfies our hearts. The Lord is nigh to see our sorrows, to hear our cries, to avenge our wrongs, relieve our wants, and save our souls, another ancient writer says. When we think of this psalm, it is overflowing with the bigness of God. When we think about the bigness of God, a man named Plummer, again in the 18th century, said, nothing is more pernicious and has a more pernicious or evil effect on character than low thoughts of God. Low thoughts of God are dangerous, he says. And King David obviously agrees, because in Psalm 145, he is elevating our thoughts. Who our God is, majesty, honorable, glorious, incomprehensibly big, and yet he wants to hear our cries and our pains and even our hurts and our anxieties and our struggles. He is nigh to those who call upon him. When we think about God's presence, if we ever doubt his power, his presence is infinite, his brightness insupportable, his majesty awful, his awful as in incredible, his dominion boundless, his sovereignty uncontestable. This is our King. This is our God. This is our Abba, Father. Another writer says, as we face the struggles in this life, in the midst of the convulsions, agitations, and desolations of earth. It is a glorious truth that the dominion of the Almighty over this and all worlds cannot be destroyed, subverted, or even impeded. So that nothing can stop him, including coronavirus. He is big. He is great. I love how this other person writes and says that his kingdom is the kingdom of eternities. The kingdom of eternities. His kingdom is defined by everlasting power, might, and glory and eternity. And when we think about this world that we live in here, let us not long for this world, but long for the eternal kingdom of God. Jesus Christ came to give us life so that we might experience that kingdom, that we might have hope and trust in his being. Are we living for eternity? Is that something that raptures our minds? Even during this time, I hope it's something that we meditate on. The God who is so big and great and wants us. John 17, Jesus prayed that we would experience his joy, and he even told his Father, I can't wait, and I think it was verse 23 in John 17, I can't wait for them, meaning his saints, to come to heaven to see his glory in all of its unveiled infinity. Okay, now that sets the foundation, Psalm 145. This is who our God is. We can trust in him. He is great. He is majesty, and he's majestic, and he hears us. Now let's go into Psalm 146. But once again, here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Pause the video and read it out loud. Whether as a single or as a family, take a moment and read God's word aloud. Maybe even take turns reading it. Go ahead and pause it right now. Again, I'm going to kind of stare at you until you start reading or push pause. Have you read it? Okay, we're going to move on. I'm trusting that you read it. The word of God should be read not just by the preacher and the pastor, but it should be read by you. It should come off of your own lips. God doesn't just want to hear his word from a select few, some who have vocational ministry. He wants to hear God's word off of your lips. He wants to hear praises off of your lips and the word of God read off of your lips, including you kids. He wants to hear you sing his praise and read his word. Okay, now we go into Psalm 146. What do we see? Now, the first Psalm, 145, is written by David. Psalm 146, we don't know who wrote it, although John Calvin and some others throughout history have also thought that it was probably King David. I would tend to agree with them, mainly because of the way that this psalm is positioned following Psalm 145 continues a similar theme, and maybe it was understood that these were continuing thoughts of David. Well, we don't know for sure, but we do know that both of them are equally God's word. Psalm 146 again opens with, praise the Lord, he is worthy. And just like Psalm 145, he's so great and he's so big. Now here's what we're told not to do. Verse 3, put not your trust in princes. Don't put your trust in princes, because the princes of this world will fail us. Again, I like how an ancient writer said, we are not to put trust in any man, not even in kings or princes, nor in the mighty, nor in the rich, as the world do. Because we are to put our trust in God. He alone is our source of strength. He alone is our might and our power. If we put our trust in princes, we're putting our trust in something that is fading and passing. The best of them may die at the very time when we most need them. The best of them are limited in their resources and cannot help those, even with those whom they have the strongest relationship and attachment. The best of them are fickle and liable to change their friendship from time to time and to exemplify flaws. And the psalmist says, so even the best of them, why would you put your hope in princes? Don't put your hope in princes or in the government or in trillion-dollar bailouts. Put your hope in God. And it says, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Blessed, happy, blessed, joyful is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Why is the God of Jacob invoked? Because we're purposely meant to see how God has already proven himself to Israel. When you say the house of Jacob, the God of Jacob, Jacob's house, these are all references to Israel. And when it says the God of Jacob, it's saying, look back and see through history how God has been faithful, and he has never once let his people down. And likewise, happy are those who put their hope in that God. That God who stood with David against Goliath. That God who stood with Elijah against the prophets of Baal. That God who stood with Zechariah and Haggai and Jeremiah. That God who stood with Esther when she stood before the king, and Ruth in her desperation. This is the God whom you're supposed to put your trust in, not the fleshly failing princes of this world. Blessed, happy is he whose helper is the God of Jacob. And this is what he is. This is how he helps. Look at verse 6. He is our hope. He has made heaven and earth, so he's our creator. He keeps faith forever. He's the promise keeper. He executes justice for the oppressed. He is just. He sets the prisoners free. He's savior. He gives food to the hungry. He's provider. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. He's the healer. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. He is our helper. He loves the righteous. Our God is a lover of people. He watches over the sojourners, verse 9. He's present. Right where we're at, even in the middle of all of our challenges and being stuck at home, he watches over us. He is with us. He helps us. He provides for us. This is where you put your strength. A God who is great, like Psalm 145 says, one who is worthy, gracious, merciful, good to all. We can call upon him. And then Psalm 146, so don't put your help in princes and the things of this world. Know who our God is. Now there's a warning in verse 9, and it appears not only in verse 9 of 146, but also in chapter 145, the previous chapter. And it says, the wicked he brings to ruin. And in chapter 145, but all the wicked he will destroy. So what makes us righteous and what makes us wicked? Is it the things we do? Is it the life we live? The life we lived shows the state of the heart. Well, how do you change the state of the heart? How do you control what comes out? Well, there is only one righteousness that you can depend on, and it doesn't come from within you. It comes from outside. Someone has to change your heart, has to give you righteousness, has to give you grace. And only after that is given to you are you made righteous. Now, how does that happen? Jesus Christ died on the cross. He died on the cross for you, for me. And the only way that we can be righteous, the only way that we can be loved by God as righteous people is if we've trusted in his son, Jesus Christ. King David was writing this, and it's interesting that down through history, at some point, about 1,000 years later, 900 years later, Jesus, his descendant, would come on and die on the cross. And as he hung there, you can hear him saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do, pleading for the people who would crucify him. And he, throughout his ministry, said, don't put your trust in your own righteousness or the things of this world. In other words, don't put your trust in princes, but rather submit to God. He is our helper, our savior, and only he is our savior. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, the only life. As we think about God, and as we think about these troubled times that we live in, we need to constantly be enraptured by lofty thoughts of God, like 145 and 146 here in the book of Psalms so eloquently states. We need to be enraptured by lofty thoughts of the cross, of what Jesus has done for us, and recognize that our home is not here, but that we belong to a kingdom of eternities. I said bling. There's going to be a lot of bling in heaven. And the bling in heaven, more than anything, more than the streets of gold, the blessings of heaven, is the very presence of God himself, something that David himself longed for. As we think through these times, brother and sister, read God's word, meditate on God's word, and let us be enraptured with his presence and caught up with lofty thoughts of God. Let us see his providence and kindness as it will meet us daily as we seek him. Join me tomorrow, Monday at noon, as we're going to resume our study through the book of Ruth. It's a lovely story that takes these concepts of God's providence and his kindness and his character and plays it out across the real life stories of Naomi and Ruth. Pray with me, please. Father, we thank you for this time in your word. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. May we be caught up with lofty thoughts of God, and may you be exalted in everything we say and do as a church. May we truly remember Christ. May we remember the cross. And Lord, may we give you the glory and praise that you are due. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now don't sign off, just for a few more minutes. Very practically, I would like to talk with you as your under-shepherd here at Heritage, along with the other under-shepherds, pastors, and deacons here at Heritage. We've been meeting this week to talk about a midterm ministry plan. We are in unique times, challenging times, and I think that there are going to be some challenging times ahead. And so what I would like to share with you are the things that we have always striven to do as a church and ministry, but that we are doing in new and creative ways with this context of being isolated, social distance, quarantine, all these words in which we find ourselves. One of the things that we want to maintain is a presence of the feeding of God's word to his people. And so that's why we're taking and doing these online videos. I'm doing this Monday through Friday to help encourage you, to point you back to God's word. The student ministries and the children's ministries are also putting out weekly videos. If you have not seen them, they're quite excellent. So what we have done, we have built a special webpage. It's called watchhbclynchburg.com. Please make note of that. Please go there. That'll be the source and the main page during this period of abnormal ministry. That is going to be kind of our nexus for putting up our videos, putting up announcements, and even opportunities for how you can help out during this time. Of course, we will continue to use the medium of Facebook. Facebook is a great tool, but those of you who are not on Facebook, you can also utilize, again, watchhbclynchburg.com. It'll also redirect you there from our main website. So we're doing this period of teaching, and we also want to let you know that we've, during this time, amped up and put an increased strategic focus on shepherding our congregation well. Many of our pastors and staff have reorganized their time and their tasks to reach out to our people, to reach out those who are in the vulnerable populations among, in our midst, members and non-members alike, to reach out, to give phone calls, to see how we can help and pray and encourage. Please know that you are deeply loved. Please know how we can help. Please feel free to reach out. Matter of fact, there is on that main website, and if you don't have internet or have difficulty navigating the internet, please, you can call the office as well. 434-237-6505 is our main office number. But on that main splash page of watchhbclynchburg.com, there is a prayer request form where you can share your prayer requests, make known what's going on and how we can be praying for you. During this time, I would also encourage you, be reaching out to each other. If God lays someone on your heart, give them a call. Oh, you know, a couple of weeks ago or months ago, a phone call was a nice gesture. But now, it is one of our primary means by which we have community, by which we're able to hear each other's voice, ask questions, and see how we're doing. Pick up the phone. Shepherd one another. Practice the one another's of Scripture at this time. Perhaps never has it been more important. Let us shepherd together the people of God well. So we're putting a focus, remembering to proclaim and teach the Word of God, as that's the food of our faith, to shepherd one another and care for one another. I would also like to challenge you and mobilize you to the opportunity at hand. What can you be doing right now? You may be saying, what can I do at home? I mean, I'm just sitting here. I'm a little bit lonely. What can I be doing? You can pray. Oh my goodness, brother and sister in Christ. There's nothing more powerful than prayer. Pray for your church. Please pray for me, for your pastors, for your neighbors, for your family, for our country, for the wisdom with our leaders, as the Bible commands us to pray for those in authority. Pray. Pray that God would give you opportunities to show his love. Number two, I would encourage you and mobilize you. Don't forget your joy as a believer. Joy and kindness are one of the outward marks of a true believer. Now, joy is not something you wake up with. Joy is something that has to be fought for every single day. So how do you maintain that joy? You need to get into God's word like we just did this morning. But not just wait for me or someone else to do it for you. You need to get into God's word. You need to pray. Put on some godly, Christ-exalting music. Surround yourself with the truth of Christ. Feed that joy, fuel that joy, and fight for that joy. I would also encourage you to witness. What do I mean witness? First of all, I mean witness to each other as believers in Christ. To witness to each other the realities of Jesus. Teach each other and preach and remind one another. Romans chapter 8, no condemnation in Christ, that we have an inheritance even though this momentary time brings affliction, and that if God is for us, who can be against us, and that nothing can separate us from his love. Witness to each other the realities of Christ. And then witness to the lost, those you come across in the stores. As you go outside your neighborhood and you see your neighbors, witness to them the realities of Christ lovingly, kindly. Pray for those opportunities. You may say, well, what can I do practically right now? You know, those in grocery stores right now, those taking the checkouts and having to deal with some unruly shoppers, take a moment and say, how are you doing? Jesus loves you. As you drive through the drive-thru, take that moment and opportunity. As you see your neighbors, maybe drop off cards in their boxes, I guess after spraying the card down with Lysol and wiping it so you don't transmit anything. But, you know, I mean, we can be creative at the same time being cautious. Utilize those opportunities. Send out email chains. Give phone calls to those in your neighborhood. Ask God to show you the opportunities, and I promise you he will. As we think about these times, these are the practical challenges I'm giving you, but also telling you what we as a church are doing. I am also challenging you to be generous. Generous with your time. Time in prayer for others. Yes, time in calling, like I've already said. Be generous with what God has blessed you with. I want to be very clear. I know that these times are going to hit all of us hard. And I know that some of us are already uncertain. And I pray that you would give thought to how much you would continue to sacrificially give to Heritage, your church. Because Heritage is the home base at the moment by which we also reach out in our local ministry partners and to our missionaries around the world. Now, praise God, God is doing some fantastic and amazing things around the world, even in spite of everything that is going on. And I ask that you would consider continue to be a part of that journey. To give sacrificially so the ministry of Heritage may go forward practically, both here locally and around the world. We have taken on some very strong austerity measures, being very careful with any expenses. We're being very careful in planning out. We are at this juncture in time very financially tight. We are looking to see how we can be creative and to make sure that we are continually careful. And please know that we are in this with you. And my plea to you, for obedience to the Lord's church, continue to pray about how much you would sacrificially give. There is the giving online. One way you can really help us is give online. Give regularly, either through the mail or bill pay. The main giving online link will be at watchhbclynchburg.com. Again, that main splash page, a place where you can go and find instructions very easily. I think the journey ahead is going to be fraught with some uncertainties, but we know our God is on the throne. And I'm asking you, I am encouraging you, mobilizing God's people to be on this journey with us. Continue to drink in God's word. Shepherd and care for one another. Look for those God-given opportunities to share the realities and the majesties of Christ. Continue to be generous with your time. Continue to be generous with your resources. And please continue to be generous even to your local church as it impacts us, and so we can continue to minister and bless our missionaries and their ministries around the world. Brother and sister, whatever God may bring, whatever he may bring, may we trust it is for his glory and for our good. Sometimes I think we pray, God, do something mighty. But then when he shakes up the world like this, we're like, wait, hold on, but I didn't mean this, and I didn't mean that. I wanted you to shake up the world for you while leaving my comforts intact. And yet, what has God done? We have prayed, I have prayed, for God to move mightily in our culture and in our world. And what is he doing? He is moving mightily. He's shaking people's foundations. And we have the opportunity now more than ever, Heritage, to be a light for the world, to radiate the joy of Christ, to give of ourselves as if this world is not our home. Why? Because it's not our home. We look forward to the glories of heaven. And may we so radiate and demonstrate that to our children and kids. May we all, including you, radiate Jesus so beautifully that the world can't help but take notice. I am praying for you. I am praying for each one of us that Jesus Christ would be glorified during this time here in Lynchburg, Virginia, South Central Virginia, the East Coast, all the way around the world. Until God is pleased to bring this to an end, may we be found faithful. Much love to you. Let us pray once more. Father, we commit our lives into your hands. We commit our spirits, our resources, and everything we are into your hands. And may what we do be a fragrance, a sweet smelling fragrance for your delight, a fragrance that the world cannot ignore. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday, brother and sister. And friend, if you don't know Christ or if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. God bless.